RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Fun week so far. Spring break week here on the show. Weather's wild. It's hot again. We got the new word, potential scattered showers tomorrow night. We can't have that. We got to get Matt DiNardo on the phone and tell him we can't have that. That's the weatherman's least favorite bit, the like, oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Matt DiNardo. It's not your fault, Matt. But if it does rain, that'd be sad. It's Flying Squirrels opening night tomorrow night. John Smoltz will throw out the first pitch. You'll hear the games all weekend and all season right here on 910 The Fan, your home for Flying Squirrels baseball in Richmond. Our Friday fun show tomorrow, we revisit the best parts of the week. AWOD's going to be live from the Diamond. So I love that. Little opening day at the Diamond. Should be a great broadcast. Hopefully I can get out there, check in with him at some point tomorrow, because that's always one of my favorite shows of the year when he's out there talking baseball. I know he'll have some great guests, great programming for you as we get ready for that. Final Four this weekend. Get you ready for the Final Four. I'm excited for Duke Houston. Also, two SEC teams will be participating. We have to tolerate it. That is the way of the world these days. But I would like to start on the ice, where Alex Ovechkin is chasing history nightly and eventful nightly as well. Game in Boston, a much needed win for the Caps. Doesn't really matter, but winning's better than losing. You know, their playoff standing is secure. Only thing that matters is getting Ovi across this finish line here. Got a goal, had a fight in Boston, travels down to Carolina. Quick turnaround game, had a goal, had a fight. Here's Alex Ovechkin, two away from tying Wayne Gretzky for the greatest goal scorer of all time.
Well, the chant is Ovi. You can hear it here now. And a 5-on-3. Let's see what happens as he sits on 891. It comes to Chychrun. He'll move in toward the top of the right circle. Down to Strome, back to Chychrun. Looks for Ovechkin. Looking to tee it up, nothing there. Chychrun takes the one-timer. And off the glove of Anderson, the puck stays in the zone. 40 left in the period. Ovechkin to the high slot. As Chychrun feeds it to him, he scores! Alex Ovechkin gets goal, 892! It's on the power play, top right corner against Frederick Anderson. Ladies and gentlemen, he is three goals away from the record. He has scored here in Carolina with 34.5 to go in the second period. It's 4-1, and Alex Ovechkin has 892 in the bag.
That was the highlight there. The people got what they came to see. Great road crowd there in Carolina, giving him an ovation, chanting his name, wanting to see a little bit of history. They saw him get closer. It's getting tantalizingly close, folks. Three to go. You just need one game where he puts two in, which he's very capable of, and this thing's going to happen. I'm not going to jinx it. I'm not prepared to say yet it's going to happen. But certainly two in two games, that's a nice little trend line. Gary Hess swings by in a few, but there will be no math. If he gets one every game, he's going to be in a good spot. Chicago, Friday night at home. Then they head out to Long Island to take on the Islanders Sunday. And then a three-day break to build the drama and the suspense of the great chase before the home stretch here. Excited to watch. I think everybody's tuning in. Everybody's craning their neck here. I'll watch that. All right. Sunday national TV window, 12:30. And if he gets one Friday, that's going to be a marquee game up there in Long Island against the Islanders. Because as soon as he's, I think when you get one more, you got to be watching every second of every game at that point. You get the tie and then the pass. Both great moments. And Wayne Gretzky was in attendance last night and will follow Ovechkin around for the last 2 weeks of the season. So he will be there to congratulate him when he gets the record. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, and Ovechkin's family starting to travel as well. That's the part you never know about, the traveling circus part, right? And yeah, the hit streak in baseball, yeah, right. Everyone is exponentially more than the one before it. How will that pressure change things? But Ovechkin just seems to be willing his way to this record. A reminder, of course, playoff goals don't count. Then there was this. At the end of the game, these two teams may play each other in the playoffs. Not unthinkable. Couple good hockey teams. Carolina, two very different stories here. Carolina has been knocking on the door for years. They're ready to kick down the door, go win a Stanley Cup with this roster. Just hasn't happened. The Capitals snuck into the playoffs last year, really had no business being there, got swept out by the Rangers. And then all of a sudden, boom, this year, best team in hockey. So a little bit of a turnaround. A little feistiness from the Carolina folks, a little cheap shot given by one of the Carolina players during a fight, and all of a sudden, the benches are clear.
Remaining, and now we're going to get more shenanigans as we get Dowd bunching up here with Jankowski, and they mix it up. Jost is in the middle of this now too, and Brent Burns sticks and gloves and nastiness right at center ice here at Lenovo Center. Nick Dowd is getting tossed in the box immediately. He is furious with Jankowski. And the official scores are getting an earful right now. Dowd is leaning over and yelling at Jankowski, already in the box.
Duhame's going at it at center ice, too. You knew that was going to happen, so.
Duhame is pointing at Jost. Give the officials a lot of credit for doing the best they can to keep this one in control, because this is a powder keg right now. Duhame's getting tossed. Dowd is in the box. Jankowski, I think, is going to go, although he's in the box at the moment. And plenty of equipment and a yard sale in between the blue lines here with 5:34 left.
John Walton on the Caps Radio Network. You heard it right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Yard sales worth of equipment out there on the ice. Final 7 minutes of this hockey game, 114 penalty minutes distributed to the two teams. Getting ready for the playoffs. Everybody's looking for the edge, the upper hand. And these two teams are going to see each other next week as well up in D.C. Jalen Chatfield for the Hurricanes. He's the one who kind of picked up Connor McMichael. It was a UFC move, if I've ever seen one. I don't see a lot of UFC. I'm just assuming that's what they do in UFC. Picks him up, flings him to the ice. That's over the line, and exceptions were taken, and fights were had, and 114 penalty minutes were distributed. So we're spending some time on the ice these days, getting ready for the playoffs, watching Ovechkin in the great chase. Wild baseball storyline. It's probably time to start monitoring. The Dodgers played the Braves this week. Great series. Obviously, Braves have World Series aspirations. Dodgers have purchased themselves the finest baseball team money can possibly buy. Dodgers going into last night's game, 7 wins, no losses. Going into last night's game, the Atlanta Braves, no wins, 6 losses. Tie game, ninth inning, Shohei Ohtani, you know what to do.
First pitch swinging, high drive, left center field, at the wall! Oh my goodness! Shohei Ohtani, a sayonara swing! He's headed home, and once again, the Dodgers walk off winners!
Baseball's back, Shohei Ohtani.
Sayonara swing!
There you go. Nice night out west there in L.A. Love the enthusiasm of a good baseball call. You spend all game waiting for the moment.
Agreed.
Kaboom. Dodgers, a perfect 8-0. Braves, 0-7. What's going on there? Small sample size, but that's a good baseball team. Two storylines to watch early in the season. Of course, we'll be watching a lot of baseball this weekend because the Flying Squirrels are coming to town. The boys of summer are back. You'll hear them right here. Megan, you doing the game tomorrow, Megan?
I am. I get to produce the first one.
Megan produces here Thursdays and Fridays for me, and then grabbing a little Flying Squirrels baseball tomorrow night.
And a little NASCAR here and there. A few different things.
That's the split shift there, as call it, coming in the morning and at night.
It is.
Working hard to bring the people their sports.
I don't know what I'm going to do in the middle of the day. I've always had that conflict of okay, where do I go? Because I live just far enough from the studio.
That's a big time investment to go home and come back.
It is. It's
also
really
a long time
to
sit in here.
I know. I've tried it.
Rich Herrera, 1140 WRVA, came in yesterday. It was very complimentary of the studio. Yeah. I think we've got a nice ambiance in here.
I think so.
I don't want to spend 12 hours in here either tomorrow.
I used to pull that shift last fall. Yeah. I would do this shift and then I would have high school football in the evening. So I would stay in between and do some stuff. I'm not crazy about the 12-hour shift thing.
Nobody splits harder than Gary Hess on a high school football night.
Agreed.
Coming in to do the news at 6 a.m. with Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And then call a high school football game that night, deep into the night, and then do the Facebook post game. Nobody knows how he does it.
He's got to be exhausted.
Methamphetamines? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Why don't we ask him? Gary Hess joins us for Friday Fun on the other side on Thursday, as we do these days. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Counting you down to Flying Squirrels opening night. John Smoltz first pitch out at the Diamond, 6:35.
Think he still got it?
I'll say this: if they're up 3-2 going into the bottom of the ninth, I know who I want. I know who I want coming out there.
Me too. I bet Dennis Pelfrey be on board for that too.
Go throw the ceremonial first pitch, but stay loose. Stay warm. Yeah,
exactly.
Don't sign too many autographs. Right, might need your arm later.
Exactly. Oh my God! And don't even throw that first pitch from the front. Go up on that mound.
I'll say that you get the ceremonial first pitches, and some people step up. Some people, there's a wide variety. If Smolcey does anything other than toe on the rubber, wind up, collect the signal, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, I would be too. Yes.
What do you think now?
If you're the catcher, the squirrel's catcher, what are you throwing down there?
Oh, one. Yeah. One fastball. Bring the heat. In his career, he was never a touch 100 guy, as I remember.
In his time,
but nobody was a touch.
Nobody was.
Nolan
a touch
Ryan
100.
Was a touch 100 guy.
But he looked like a fireballer. But he looked like a fireballer compared to Maddux and Glavine.
He was. Maddux 92, and you got to adjust the score. Man, brought the heat right there on that one. If you let Smoltz get loose, get the arm warm, and uncork one, what could he hit today?
Today,
could he hit 85?
That's the number I was getting ready to come out of my mouth.
How about that?
I think he could probably still hit 85.
How about that?
The question is, what could Nolan Ryan hit today?
Yeah, I think time has taken its toll on that body too, because he threw a lot of pitches.
And plus, I mean, when he went and stayed at a high level, and then had arm problems, that's when he retired.
Exactly.
And so at that point, you get just the basic fix to live, not to throw. So.
Exactly. Yeah, he may not be in throwing form or throwing condition. Yeah.
Right. And I've seen I've seen lob first pitches by him since he retired.
So. Sure. Yeah. I always love the parade of kids, come out and throw the first pitch, and they're all they are geared up. This is their moment. They are gonna audition for the majors out there. I also love when they have the line of kids and then John Smoltz at the end. Like he's Andy Reid in the punt, pass, and kick contest back in the day.
Yes. That's so great. Oh, my goodness.
Flying Squirrels opening night. Gary Hess, of course, is the sports director at 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. No stranger to some Friday night lights, I might add.
Right.
But this is a different kind. You were here for the Arm Braves, and I was not. I showed up and they left. I don't think it was me personally. I think it was factors outside of my control. But I didn't.
Michael Phillips is here. That's it. We're out.
Did y'all know in the moment, all these guys are super special and we're lucky to have them here? like with those Braves teams that became the Braves teams?
I understood what AAA baseball was.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because some of the big names of the Richmond Braves during my formative years, the Chico Ruizes of the world, were AAA lifers. You know, there weren't as many major league teams back then. And so there were, you know, guys. I do remember one year the Braves brought in these two hotshot prospect pitchers, Steve Bedrosian and Ken Daly, both of which went on to pretty good major league careers. And you watch those two guys pitch, and you're like, oh, yeah, I see what the fuss is about. My rec, like I was talking to Rich on the show this morning about, I remember going to, I think it was in 74 maybe, I was nine, going to see the annual Richmond Braves, Atlanta Braves exhibition and getting to see Hank Aaron play in person.
Now that's a treat right there.
So that is, that made an impression on me that obviously I've never forgotten. I also remember that in his lonely
I know
bat,
you appreciated that in the moment, for
right.
sure. Yes.
I also remember that he popped up to catcher in the second inning, and that was his only at-bat in the game.
It's like we went up to D.C. a couple years ago to see Messi. He was like with the Argentine, you know.
Right.
He came out for 20 minutes, jogged around, you know, waved, kicked the ball a couple times. Thank you. All right. Thank you for coming out.
Rack me. I'm out.
Yeah. It's going to be Ovi once he gets this record because yes. they're going to shut him down for the playoffs. Pronto, as soon as he gets this record, I got
exactly.
Think,
yeah. I saw where the projection was, and I think he's ahead of pace. Where the projection was that he was going to break the record on April 15th against my Islanders in Long Island.
He's in Long Island Sunday, look, all you need is a couple.
Now, here's what I'll say about the Islanders, and I am an expert on the Islanders.
You're the local expert on the Islanders. By the way, I need Zach McEwen here to answer for certain crimes committed against hockey in that Carolina game, so we'll summon him into the studio later. You're good. You can stay.
Here's what I will say about the Islanders. Ovechkin's challenge will be is that Varlamov is a top-shelf goaltender.
Yeah.
The rest of the Islanders team in no way resembles anything top-shelf. And so they lose a lot of games 2-1.
I mean, I don't think you want to be the goalie that gives it up.
Nope, I don't.
Once he gets there, I don't think you want
you
to be the goalie.
You don't want to be Al Downing. You don't Al Downing who gave up Hank Aaron's 715th home run.
It's so funny you say that. We were at Radio Row at the Super Bowl. We were doing Bud Light Big Game Week, and Dallas Sports Radio is there, which is our Odyssey sister station. I know that guy. I know that guy. Who is that guy? And Grant Paulson. Grant, who's that guy? I know that guy. He's Mike Baksik. Oh, Washington Nationals pitcher. You don't have to remember the stat line. Gave up Barry Bonds' record home run as a right. member of the Nationals. Thus, we'll live in infamy. He grooved Barry one. I don't think he minded being the answer to the trivia question,
right.
Either in the moment or now.
It is interesting when I think back, Ralph Branca, who famously gave up Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world in 1951, kind of embraced that role and talked about it. Tracy Stallard, I believe is the guy's name, who gave up Roger Maris's 61st home run in 1960, or 61, excuse me, never wanted to talk about it.
Yeah.
And Al Downing, just, you couldn't ask him anything about it. The other trivia question about that game is Tom House, who I believe went on to become the general manager of the Atlanta Braves, was the bullpen pitcher who caught the home Hank Aaron 715th in the air in the Braves bullpen.
Nice catch there for historical purposes.
Indeed.
Who will give up the last home run at the diamond? We'll find out later this year.
Yes, we will.
That ball may not make it to Sotheby's.
No. I doubt it.
By the end.
Could be on display somewhere at CarMax Park.
We had Trey on, and he said, you know, opening day is always a hot ticket. It's, of course, sold out. You can't go. You can go Saturday or Sunday if you want to go. But he said the last game is selling just as fast as opening day.
That
this
doesn't
year.
Surprise me at all. That's going to sell like at July 4th rate.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which they don't have this year. There is no July 4th game for the first time this year. Which is a schedule.
There is.
Oddity.
It's just not here.
Yes, that's correct. And you can go to the Diamond on July 4th.
Right.
And they're going to shoot off fireworks, which I think is a nice touch for
right.
the community because we habitually drive over there on July 4th. to see fireworks. You could still go to the Diamond and see fireworks on July 4th.
I was so sad they built something. There used to be a vacant parking lot at the corner. I don't remember the exact corner. Somewhere near the Science Museum.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Museum near the Bonsecour.
Yep. Midtown Green.
Right. Gary. Whatever you call it. Anyway, there was a parking lot, and I discovered it, and it would, you know, you'd be 8 or 10 cars in that parking lot. It was like a well-kept secret, and you could go park there, and you could look one direction and see the fireworks at the Diamond. You could look another direction and see the fireworks at State Fairgrounds, and then you could go look this way and see the fireworks at Dogwood Dell.
Ooh. That's the dream right there. Hardywood had that for a
couple
little while, too.
Couple of chairs and a cooler, and all was well.
Before Hardywood got developed around.
Exactly.
You could do that over at Hardywood, too.
Exactly.
That's, man, 4th of July. I'm ready. Give me some hot dogs. Take me out to the ballpark.
And you know what's funny about 4th of July being the curmudgeon that I am now? Now that my grandkids are getting older, we may go back to that. But having had no kids at home for several years, we don't even go see fireworks.
How about that? Yeah.
I mean, think about future you when your kids are grown and gone.
Yeah.
You know, will you still go see fireworks?
Yes, 100%.
You know what? When I was your age, I would have said that too. Things change, my friend. Things change.
Things change. Gary has sports director.
Get off my lawn, guy. And, you know.
Final question. How many squirrels use a torpedo bat on opening night?
I would hope at least one.
I want to see a torpedo bat.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and I was on with AWOD yesterday. We were talking, and I was just like, I'm sorry, I just don't care. I was like, bats change. I said, you know.
They're not going out there with fungos.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, the pitchers are still trying to get them out, right? And so
I got zero sympathy for any pitcher complaining. One, adjust to it. Two, throw them some sliders. Get your contact on the other. Three, we've shifted to defense in baseball far enough. It's time to come back the other way.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, you know, yes, would it help? You know, is it a difference maker for a major league hitter? I don't know the answer to that. I know this. You can give me a torpedo bat, and my chances of hitting a 90-mile-an-hour fastball go from 0 to 0.
Maybe against John Smoltz. We'll see.
That's not a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
We'll see if he's still got it or not. Opening night at the Diamond, you'll hear the squirrels all summer, leading into, of course, another great season of high school football.
Yeah, baseball. It's gets me just... kind of makes me happy talking baseball.
It's a great time of year.
And on the football side, starting to see some schedule releases.
Woo!
And
that's
so that's very interesting to see that. I've already seen two schedules that have public-private school matchups. 804 teams.
We like that.
That is a very cool thing.
We like that. I am Mr. I love a good schedule release. I'll be that guy. When the NFL does the schedule release in primetime and everybody lines up all grumpy about it, which I am about the draft. I am grumpy about the 3-day draft. I don't see the point, but give me a schedule release. Woo, boy, I'm excited.
It's so funny. The NFL draft, I'm excited. You know, you watch the first round on Thursday night. You kind of, Friday night's Friday night. You're doing stuff. Kind of keeping an eye. Saturday, it's like, wake me up, and I'll just look at the results when it's over.
Ditto,
Completely ignore the third day of the draft.
Send me some names. I'll get excited later. Gary Hess, sports director, 910 The Fan. Thank you for dropping by.
Yep, have a great one.
All right, bang after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan. 101.5 FM is the place to be if you want to hear the Richmond Flying Squirrels home opener because you can't get a ticket. They're sold out. Don't say we didn't warn you because we've been warning you for a few weeks now. Still tickets available for Saturday and Sunday. We cannot talk opening day. We cannot talk baseball season without our guy Parney. Welcome aboard. Happy opening day weekend.
What up, MP on the mic? Hope you're doing good. Yeah, it's I like you. I'm in the office, but I just saw the social media and I was overcome with pride and just gratefulness for not only the staff that made it happen for 15 years in a row, but the fans. I hope people in Richmond understand how big of a deal it is to sell out 15 straight openers. I always, this time every year, I try to go through the list of all my buddies and friends that run minor league baseball teams just to think, you know, what kind of other streaks are out there. I can't think, MP, of any other streak for a home opener in minor league baseball that's 15 years strong. So congrats to everybody, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. The team's here. We had our annual coaches dinner last night, which was always a lot of fun and a lot of laughs and a lot of camaraderie. So, yeah, man, things are good. Really, really excited.
I'll double click on that for a second because this isn't a given that it sells out. It's spring break. The kids are gone. The weather's fickle this time of year, and y'all just put on a good show every single year, 15 in a row. And I dare go out on the limb, Parney, and predict 16 at the opening night of CarMax Park. Some people might want to attend that one.
I think, MP, the opening night of CarMax Park in 2026 is going to be like when Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in an NBA game at Hershey Park Arena. The official attendance was 4,022. But if you go into the state of Pennsylvania, everybody you meet says they were at that game. So the perceived attendance was like 100,000. And I think it's going to be the same way. I think it's going to be the same way for the opening of CarMax. I mean, I already have people, you know, coming up to me saying, like, I got to be there. I got to be there. So I was just talking with Anthony Opperman, our awesome, beloved general manager. He just came back into Parney's Pub office here, and we were talking. And it's just such a great moment and not only Squirrels history, but in the history of the city and the region of Richmond, because you know, it's a special place. The Squirrels, I think, have proven that it's a sports market, and now we have other people that are helping us prove it, the Kickers and so forth. But you know, to be able to share tomorrow with our fans and the other 68 games that follow and have them be able to come in to the diamond and look to their right and be able to see our future. And, you know, your kids, MP,
oh, yeah,
are going to look over there and see where they're going to potentially bring your grandchildren. And to me, that's an emotional thing. And people around here make fun of me because I've been crying a lot lately. But it's just emotional to know that all that we went through, all the people that said it wasn't going to happen, all the people that doubted Mayor Stoney and City Council, all the people that doubted everything, and it wasn't easy, man. It was not easy. But tomorrow when they come to a sold-out game, you'll be able to look to your right and see that it's happening and it's real. Ben Rothrock and I were honored to be the first two people to sign the last piece of steel that's going up. And if you can hear my voice, I'm starting to cry again. The last piece of steel that's going to be put up at CarMax Park, and we signed it yesterday. And I tell you, man, it's a moment in my life and my career that I'm just so grateful for it.
It has been a long time coming, and you know that better than anybody. And to see it come to fruition over the course of the season is going to make this year extra special, as the Squirrels celebrate a lot around numbers. 40 years at the Diamond. Of course, John Smoltz representing the great R Braves teams on opening night. 15 years of Flying Squirrels baseball, 15 opening night sellouts. And then, of course, next year, the move across the street. Not just that, but some personnel moves this week. The roster wasn't the only thing announced, and love seeing Oppo get his turn to steer the ship for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, again, emotional. Again, you know, I'm I'm the oldest person around here. I'm like, I've gone from being the dad to kind of the grandpa, right? And Anthony's one of my all-time favorites in my whole 36-year career. He's just so dedicated, so disciplined, always striving for perfection, but able to, you know, figure. He was just in here saying, hey, look, tomorrow's just the start. It's opening day, but opening day doesn't mean it's the end. Tomorrow's the start, and, you know, there'll be a hole or two, and then the next day on Saturday we'll figure out how to fill those holes. So love it. Love the decision that Lou made. It allows Ben Rothrock to really focus on CarMax Park. I mean, we have two major projects going on at the same time. We have the 15th season of Squirrels Baseball, the 40th and final year of the Diamond on one hand. On the other hand, we have, in my opinion, the biggest project in the history of Richmond sports, in my opinion, and maybe even in Richmond, in my opinion. My opinion is obviously biased. But that's going on at the same time. So, you know, it requires a lot of different focus and attention, and Benny's doing an amazing job. You know, Benny and I have worked together. I think tomorrow will be our 26th year of working together. So I've literally watched him grow up, you know, from a 21-year-old to what he is now. So he's doing everything he can correctly to get us ready for CarMax Park, and Oppo on a day-to-day basis will steer the ship as you know, better than anybody in the Eastern League, in my opinion. So yeah, it's been really a great week. And then the boys got back in town, and, you know, I'm not ashamed. Dennis Telfrey's my all-time favorite, and he'll become the Squirrels all-time winningest manager probably sometime in early May. He needs 12 more wins to become the all-time. And he also said, he said it in the paper today with Johnny O, you know, if he finished his career in Richmond as a manager, he would be a happy man. And the only other place he wants to be besides Richmond is the major leagues. And you've been around a long time, MP. Guys don't say that kind of stuff, right? I mean, they just don't. And he means it. And he's a perfect. Another thing I was saying to Anthony, he's a perfect match for Anthony in the front office. He knows what we have to do in the front office and all the shenanigans that we do in between innings. And then, you know, we have a lot of respect for the daily work that he has to do with the team to make every single player better. So couldn't ask for a better pair of leaders on the field in Pelf, and then off the field in Oppo.
Pelf's always a good guy. We love having him on, and I would assume he will be on AWOD Radio live from the Diamond ahead opening night, noon to 3, before Trey and Blaine take over, of course, with the call. You'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Got it all in, Parney. Checked all the boxes right there. You see
there
how we
you
do
go,
that,
baby.
Radio style. You, obviously, we're all excited for opening night. I'm excited for season 2 of Parney Time, because I got a little inside peek, and it's another banger of a guest list.
It's been fun so far, right? I'm so happy that you've agreed to continue to be a Parney's Pub Club member on Parney Time, and want to encourage all your listeners to go anywhere you get your podcast, and you can type in Parney Time, and my big fat face will pop up, and you can subscribe and click onto us. Cheats is back with us and as a Parney's Pub Club member, and then your anchor as Parney's Pub Club is, of course, Joe T, who is not allowed to speak on the pub on the Parney Time podcast, except to say two different phrases, which I think we cannot say on radio, but maybe we can.
You can. You're good. Yes.
Okay.
You're clear.
For Joe T,
you can give a hell yeah.
Ever,
yeah.
For those of you who have never heard Parney Time yet, Joe T, only thing he ever says is hell yeah when he agrees with something, or hell no when he disagrees with something, and that's a little shtick we have for my man Joe T. But I'll go ahead and tell you, because you know we got it. We're taping it very soon, and I know who's season two's opener, inning number one. You know who it is. You want to tell them who it is?
It is this Justice, right?
David Justice.
Yes,
going to be inning number one. And as you just said, we're taping another one. That's going to be great. We already got Hall of Famers on the list for this year. We got, I would say, nationwide sports personality on the list.
He was a blast. He was fun.
What did he say? He said he's contextually famous. I couldn't figure out what the hell that meant. He said, I'm contextually famous.
That's a print journalism word, Parney. That's not a radio word. Yeah, that's right. Too many syllables for us radio folk.
But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We have some announcements to make pretty soon as far as some new sponsors on board for Parney Time that are going to take us to the next level and really help us get local a lot of local away from the ballpark recognition for Parney Time. And hopefully we'll be able to announce that in the next week. So, yes, I'm really excited about it. Season one was fun, but we focused really on kind of getting to know each other. We focused on how to do it, right, between me and you and Cheats and Joe T and Wyatt, our producer, who does a great job from Octagon. And I think we're going to continue to focus on the content and get better every time. But the stuff's just fun. I mean, my goal for Parney Time Podcast is for the listeners to think that they're having a beer with me, you, Cheats, and Joe T, and whoever our guest is. And I feel like that's how it's coming off, especially for the guest that we're not talking about, that we're talking about, that we're not naming, the one that we taped last week. That absolutely felt like a beer drinking session to me. So it's been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I can't say that I'm satisfied in any way, shape, or form with the success of it yet. But I, as I said to somebody yesterday, talking about myself, I didn't get fat in one day, and I ain't gonna get skinny in one day. So, it takes some time to get these things going. But I really feel like we're headed in the right direction with Parney Time Podcast.
It's a ton of fun. Great program. Check it out. And, of course, we air it on The Fan Saturday mornings at 8, Sunday mornings at 9. Parney, in football season, we do the picks. We don't really do the picks this time of year, but you got a Final Four pick you want to drop on us here while we got a couple minutes left?
Yeah, so I haven't even looked at it. I need to look at it because I'm involved in a situation, if you know what I'm saying, with a lot of my buddies that perhaps might be in certain Hall of Fames. you know who I'm inferring, one of them at least. So I need to take a look at it because I don't think I'm in the mix for winning this, but I still got to look at it. So we got Florida against who?
Auburn. All SEC matchup. Florida by 2.5 because nobody knows if the Auburn kid is going to be full strength or not.
I'm taking Florida in that one. I actually took Florida in my bracket to win the whole thing. So I'm taking Florida in that one.
And, of course, Duke-Houston, the Fighting Cooper Flags, 5-point favorites over Kelvin Sampson's team.
So I've actually picked against Houston all the way. Here's why. What is NIL has done what? The strong become stronger. The rich become richer, right? Why do you think we have all number one seeds in the Final Four? So I've been picking Big Ten. I've been picking SEC. I've not been picking the American Athletic or whatever the hell that conference is that Houston's in. They're in that conference, right? The American?
Yeah. No, Houston's Big 12 now.
Oh, they're in Big 12? Well, anyway, they ain't playing people like those other people. But Kelvin Sampson has a house in North Carolina on Lake Tillery, and his next-door neighbor, his very next-door neighbor, is a guy named Alan Parnell, who is my cousin by name but my brother in truth. Therefore, and I told Alan last night that I've been picking against Kelvin, and I said if my buddy on the radio asked me this, I'm going to take Houston because they didn't have a lot of turnover on their roster either, right? Everybody came back. So I'm going to take Houston. I don't know if they can be. Duke looks like the best team to me. But I'm going to take Houston, then we'll have a Florida-Houston final, and I'm going to take Florida to win it all.
There you go. Parney Time on The Fan. Parney Time, where you get your podcast opening night, opening weekend. Get your tickets for Saturday and Sunday. Parney, have a blast. Look forward to seeing you out there.
Hey, one more thing, MP, real quick. If you do have tickets to tomorrow, the gates open up at 5 o'clock. There's a lot of construction going on around here, obviously. So, the parking routine is going to be a little bit different. So if you have tickets and you want to see John Smoltz the first pitch, don't wait to get here till 6 o'clock. Like, the gates open at 5. Come out as early as you possibly can. Grab a hot dog. Grab a beer. Get in your seat for the pregame ceremonies. Oppo and Caroline, everybody, are going to do a great job with the pregame ceremonies, including John Smoltz. But get here early. Gates open at 5 o'clock.
Boom. There he goes. Parney, everybody. You'll hear the games right here if you didn't get tickets on 910
The
Fan.
On the 910 The Fan,
105.1 FM. Counting you down to Flying Squirrels opening night. Can't get a ticket. It's sold out, but you'll hear it right here on the Fan. A guy who's seen a few opening nights in this town, CBS 6 sports director Lane Casadante. We love checking in with Lane. Baseball's back, Lane. How you doing?
Yeah, how are you? the best. I think I've said this on your show before, but I think the best like 10 days of the sports calendar are coming up where baseball has gotten started. We have the Final Four, and then the Masters runs right up behind it. So, and it's also right about the time the weather starts breaking, which is good also.
I did not have Braves at 0-7 on my bingo card. That was not it was not something I saw coming. Now, they played the Dodgers. I'll spot them that, but that's a team I thought was going to be competitive with the Phillies and Mets. Still could be.
Well, and I guarantee they didn't have Jurickson Profar getting popped for 80 games for, you know, taking something I would never knowingly take. But, you know, the tests don't lie, and they will get you. So these guys, it never fails to surprise me that athletes today are so in tune with what they eat and, you know, how much rest and sleep they get and all this other stuff. And then somehow I didn't know what I took. It doesn't always wash.
I accept my suspension, but I disagree with it. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Okay.
Right. It's like one of those nolo content, like an Alford plea. Going back to our court
we admit no guilt, but we accept the punishment.
Right. Exactly.
You covered the R Braves. I kind of missed the R Braves days. I showed up, they left. We got John Smoltz, opening night pitcher here. I asked Gary Hess this too. Like when the R Braves were really cranking, like did you know like, dang, this is a special collection of players, or was it more of the minor league thing of like, these guys are good. We'll see what happens when they get to the bigs.
It was funny because when the Braves were here, first of all, you didn't have the internet wasn't as big, and really when I first got here, the internet didn't really even exist commercially. But you didn't know about the rising stars unless you did a deep dive into, you know, some publication or something. You had to get it from somebody else, or you would know. I remember seeing Jeter and Posada play here for the Columbus Clippers back in 95, just before they got called up. And you heard buzz, but it was really more about the eye test. And some of the players, like Andrew Jones, we knew he was going to be pretty good. He was here for two whole weeks, and one of them, he was on the road, so he didn't stick around very long. But a lot of the old Braves fans who had been here for years, they knew which players were supposed to be good and supposed to move on. And obviously you could tell Ryan Klesko, you watch him play, yeah, that guy's going to go to the major leagues. Chipper Jones, when he was here, everybody knew because, you know, number one draft pick, eventual rookie of the year. But when the Braves were here, you got what you had, what we would call 4A guys. And for your listeners who don't know what that means, it's a guy that was really good at AAA, but for some reason couldn't make it happen in the majors. And he was always kind of stuck in between. And you would see a lot of those guys that, you know, would come here on other teams as well. And they would just be fantastic, but they couldn't make it happen in the big leagues. And nobody could ever figure out why. You don't get as many of that as at the AA level. You get a couple, but this is really... this is the level where everybody figures out, okay, yeah, you can probably advance, or hey, you should go find something else to do with your life.
These are the young guys. This is the chopping block right here. And Squirrels have some promise. You went down to spring training. You know this. The Giants it's not always been this way, but the Giants have a quality farm system at the moment that should translate to some good baseball here in Richmond.
22 of the 28 guys on the opening day roster have been here before, and it's not because they can't advance. It's not because they're not good enough. The Giants actually do have a logjam in their minor league system right now. And there was a changeover in San Francisco. Buster Posey is now in charge, and they had, you know, a cleaning house. It used to be a lot more analytical based in terms of how they did things, and you know, the lower levels weren't always sure what was going on, but you know, these guys, you're going to see some names that you've seen before, and there are a couple that, you know, should be joining. within the next week or so that we've seen before. So it will be an experienced bunch. They have a chance to have four lefties in their starting rotation, which is an oddity in baseball these days. But yeah, and there's a couple of the new faces come, like Arteaga, and I'm going to butcher his first name. I know it begins with an A also, but Sabin Ceballos and Joe Whitman, who is the starting pitcher. A lot of these guys that will be here for the first time are in the Giants' top 25 in terms of prospects. So these are, you know, the guys that are here for the first time, the big league club thinks quite a bit of them.
That's you went further than I was going to go and even attempting, so I commend you for that, Lane. It's a great roster. John Michael Bertrand, who we had here last year, is back as well. Should be a ton of fun. Opening night at the Diamonds, always a great night. Good energy in the air. Baseball's back. We got the 3-game homestand this weekend, then they hit the road for a week before they come back. You got a favorite baseball concession? Anything you enjoy at the game?
Oh my God! Yeah, because it's all bad for you, so I like it all.
It's the best.
That you can't really, you know, you put any kind of food in a plastic helmet, and it's instantly better. So anything that you can put in a helmet, nachos, a taco salad, or ice cream, anything you can put in a helmet, I'll eat.
The hot dog also gets better when they put it in the foil wrapping at the ballpark. I don't know what the science on that is. I just know that a hot dog wrapped in foil tastes better than a hot dog handed to you on a plate. That's science.
A hot dog that comes out of the pants of a guy that's dressed like a flamingo, I will not eat. I wouldn't eat anything that comes out of that guy's pants. So that's the one exception to the rule.
He's Lane Casadante, sports director at CBS 6, and he's got standards. Not high ones, but he's got them. The bar has been set for concessions this season.
I'm not cheap, but I'm easy.
You guys have Final Four and national title game this weekend on CBS 6. That's going to be a ton of fun. Did you think we'd live to see the day where Duke has a likable team and we're rooting for them to beat the SEC in basketball?
No. No. And this, I mean, I sat right behind the bench in Buffalo in 2007 for the Eric Maynard dagger
shot. The dagger!
And yeah, we didn't realize it until halfway through the game, but obviously the section behind us was all Duke people. And the rest of the building, I mean, 19,000 people all screaming for VCU, the loudest building I've ever been in, and I've seen Van Halen four times. So, yeah, that was clearly, you know, anybody but Duke. And it's not quite that way now. There are still some people that, you know, do not want to see them succeed no matter what. But I think Cooper Flagg is a generational talent. I think he's a nice kid. They have some other, you know, they have some other very complimentary pieces. They are going to run into, I think, metrically and statistically, the best defense, at least that's left in the Final Four in Houston, when you saw how they shut down Tennessee in the regional final. So they will get a test. I liken it to, you know, both of these semifinal games are going to be a complete contrast. One is going to be defensive, and the other one, I think Auburn and Florida, first one to 100 wins. And you could get there, you know, with 17 minutes left in the second half, the way these offenses can go. So the two games should be a nice contrast. If you don't like offense, then just stick around for the next game, because you'll see all the best defense that's in the tournament this year.
I think we'll see some good basketball this weekend. I think we're due for some good basketball in this tournament. So hopefully the tournament provides it this weekend. Lane, what you guys have cooking? I'm sure you'll be out at opening night.
Yes, we'll be out at opening night later tonight. We had a half hour special that aired on Tuesday night, and it was really a lot about the Diamonds' 40th anniversary and this being the final opening day there. Tonight we're going to talk with Steve Barden, who was a clubhouse kid the night the Diamond opened in 1985, and he has pretty much he had a section of time where he went and worked for another team, but he will see, you know, the inside of the place the very first day. He'll be there for the very last day, and he had some really cool and interesting memories about what this place was like back in 1985 when when it was brand new and state of the art. And it's kind of an odd foreign concept for some of us to wrap our heads around now, but there was a point in time when this place was state of the art, and everybody thought it was the next big thing.
I'll raise my hand. That's hard to see. But that's a cool thing about baseball too, is, you know, they make it their home for the season. And then you get those stories of the interactions in the course of the season. It's not, you know, a football locker room where you're just changing for the game, but they make it their home over the course of the season. Leads to some great stories.
Yeah. Yeah, and Steve has some stories about one of his stories was about Deion Sanders, who had a couple of different stints here and came back and played as an opposing player with the Yankees as well. But he has a lot of really great memories, stuff that you would only know if you actually worked there and saw the inside of everything, the stuff the fans wouldn't normally see. And he has seen all of these players as humans. And he has seen, you know, a different side of them, which really gives him a unique perspective.
It should be a ton of fun. WTVR.com, of course, or fire up the old bunny ears, as we did at our house. Watched a little kicker soccer Saturday on the old 6.3 lane. We dusted off the bunny ears. We did it like a 1950s family gathering around the fireside watching some CBS 6.3. I'll give your props there.
It worked, didn't it?
They still work. Lane, have a great weekend. Look forward to seeing you out at the ballpark.
All right, Mike. Thanks. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right. Lane Casadone, WTVR.com, CBS 6 Sports Director. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM.
Be on the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Nice warm day getting you counting you down, counting up, counting down, count. Your way to tomorrow night at 6:30. That's when the Richmond Fly.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Flying Squirrels will begin their 15th season in Richmond. Lane Casadante with some cool memories. Gary Hess, remembering those days as well. Cool to talk to the people who lived the R Braves days. John Smoltz tomorrow. And Trey Wilson said I may even get him on the radio broadcast for a few, which would be a ton of funny for those of you who do not have tickets because they are sold out. You can attend Saturday or Sunday's game, and we are excited to once again be the home of the Richmond Flying Squirrels on the radio with Trey and Blaine as they remember 40 years at the Diamond, count us down to CarMax Park coming up across the street, and 15 years of Flying Squirrels baseball with, I dare say, one of the more highly anticipated teams in recent history. Part of the randomness of minor league baseball is the way they do it. They give out two playoff spots, one to the team that wins the first half of the season and one to the team that wins the second half of the season. And so you remember a couple of years ago, Squirrels locked up their playoff spot in the first half of the season. You get to the playoffs, it was a totally different team. A lot of those guys were at AAA. A lot of those guys had made their way on up. So they didn't make any noise in the playoffs, but it was still cool to be there. And I'd love to see Pelfrey and his crew cut down the nets. Do you do that? We're going to cut down the backstop netting after the Flying Squirrels win the title. That would make the last game at the Diamond weird, though, because if you make the playoffs, you don't know when the last game at the Diamond's going to be. Trey told us, you know, tickets are flying off the shelf for the last regular season game at the Diamond, but if they're in the playoffs, you can't go disco demolition night after that one. You can't unbolt your seat and take it home with you because they're going to play more baseball. It becomes a little bit of an unknown at that point. Not that MP on the mic does not endorse bringing a wrench to the final game at the Diamond, unbolting your seat and taking it home. I just want to be very clear. The MP on the Mic radio program does not condone such behavior.
But we don't know where those seats are going.
Well, this piece of paper says that I have to tell people that I don't support them bringing a wrench, maybe a multi-tool, some kind of, something to the final game so that they can take their seat home.
We're both saying don't do that.
Everybody is saying loudly and clearly that you should definitely not take the concession stand signage home with you after the final game at the Diamond. We're all saying that very clearly.
And if you don't do that, which you shouldn't, don't check the nearby dumpsters the following couple of hours.
Just don't do it.
Don't check that.
I know I hate that people even think about doing such things because you don't want to do it. I am going to lead the movement, though, to cut down the backstop nets if they win the title, though, a la March Madness.
I was thinking maybe what could you do? Dig up the pitcher plate?
There's so little in a baseball stadium that's really available in any sense. I think the statute of limitations is passed. In college, we took an ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, sign that they had hung up at a Kansas basketball game and hung it up at the dorm. I think we're good now. But if you're listening, ESPN, I apologize. It was a great decoration. You got your money's worth in marketing. We spread the good word about this cable network that just showed sports games.
I no longer have it, but Castle Coliseum at Tech, they renovated all the seats.
Oh, there you go.
I did have a seat for a while.
I kind of don't want a diamond seat, just if we're teasing this out all the way. Like, what am I going to do with a diamond seat? Maybe put a row of them in here for our guests.
Here would be.
Do we have room for it in here? I don't think we do.
There's already too many chairs in this room.
Here's the thing. We have 7 chairs in this room, and 1.5 of them are functional. Like, you can sit in all of them, but they're all broken in some way. 1.5 of this room's chairs are functional. This is it. This is my last segment on the radio. We'd always wondered when it'd be stub, and it's now. 11:20, Thursday, April 3rd. we have 1.5 working chairs. I just don't think, fundamentally, bringing chairs from the Diamond is going to increase our ratio of function. It would be a little bit like, we need some chairs. Somebody call the Bird Theater. See if we can get some chairs, you know? I'm running through every local
institution.
You mean
the trash bag chair place? Yeah, I don't know. Have you been there in a while?
Of course.
Just so many of those seats are not allowed to be used.
And
it's been like that for a while.
The fundraiser's been going on for a while, too, which I hate to see. It feels like I've donated to the Bird Seat fundraiser at the door.
I love that place.
In multiple decades. Everybody loves the Bird.
Yeah.
It's a Richmond institution. I don't know that everybody loves the Diamond, but I do know this. Nostalgia is a powerful emotion. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, Parney's tearing up, Trey Wilson's sharing memories. Everybody who's around, you know, who's made that their home is going to feel something at the end. I'm just not there enough to feel what they're feeling, but I understand why they're feeling it.
Because you're not a native Richmond.
I'm not a native.
I was going to Braves games back when I was 4.
I moved,
and complaining about the heat.
I moved here, and the Braves were like, we're out of here. I don't think it was correlated. I don't think I wear that. But it turned out for the best because we've got the Flying Squirrel situation. Is there a frog ribbiting over there, Stub?
I don't.
We've always been competing to see how we can outdo previous shows for going completely off the rails. I don't believe this is going to be topped anytime soon. I believe we opened with chair talk, transitioned into the Bird Theater, and now it sounds like a frog is
ribbiting. I have literally no idea what that is. I don't know if the mics are picking it up.
The mics are probably not picking it up because these are studio quality mics. So everybody's like, MP's going insane over there, which is not untrue. Stubbs got, behind the glass over here, something is ribbiting like a frog. I don't believe it's a frog. But he has now left the microphone to go track down.
I didn't even expect to be on the show today. And now there's a...
As shows go... This is one of our more chaotic ones, and I do believe that's saying something. That's a hard top 10 list to crack. This segment's certainly flying towards best of status. I can promise you that right now.
Oh, it stopped.
Did you find it?
No.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
The audience will never know either. Next time it happens, I want you to go take your mic over to it so that the people can know we're not crazy.
I mean, I can't. It can only go so far, MP.
It's
the microphone really doesn't. Speaking of things that are bolted in.
I tested that when Ryan Odom came by. We need Phil Martelli to come by so I can break the studio again. I had just started here, and we had, you know, Awad, big VCU basketball guy. You know I love VCU basketball. I love sports of all kinds. Awad invited Ryan Odom, the new VCU basketball coach, to come in studio and do a half hour with each of us, you know, bridging the two shows. And he graciously accepted, came in, good dude. We were chatting, and I'll just put this out there. I was a little nervous about Adam embarrassing us. He's a super fan, right? Like, yeah, the Saturday Night Live with Chris Farley. Remember that time when you beat UVA? That was awesome. So I was a little nervous about that. You know, we want to make a good impression, and I think Adam was also very cognizant. This is a new VCU basketball coach. We want to make a good impression. We want him to be our friend. And so we're all on our best behavior, and we're chatting kind of off air. The break ends. I grab my microphone to swing it around to start, and I was kind of new here at the time, and I didn't realize this nice wood paneling in the middle, it's not connected to anything.
No.
And I broke one of the monitors. One of the monitors kaboomed.
Is one of these a new monitor?
And
relatively?
As of 2 years ago. Yeah, it's that one.
Wow.
As of 2 years ago, that's a brand new one. You see, the wrapping, like the plastic wrapping, is still on. It hasn't been unwrapped.
Because I predate you here by 2 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, but you weren't here for that moment.
No.
So the monitor breaks. We're back on air. Ryan Odom's looking at, like, who is this clown? And what did I get myself into? So we need Phil Martelli in here so that I can make amends for my poor opening day performance with Ryan Odom, is where that story goes.
I'm worried about it happening again. Maybe a new accident.
Something different. That would be that just every time there's a VCU coach, it's like Spinal Tap drummers, I break a piece of the studio.
That's when one of these chairs finally, like, snap. Like, down to the floor.
My chair goes down mid-segment. Y'all, we're playing dedication for the next 35 minutes. That's we're not bouncing back from that. A long time ago, we started this segment. I was going to talk about Alex Ovechkin. He's chasing history. We'll make time for that on the other side. We'll crosstalk with Awad. Counting you down, Flying Squirrels opening day tomorrow night, 6:35 on your home of the Flying Squirrels in Richmond, 910 The Fan, at 105. 90 minutes into this program, that means we're 30 minutes away from Awad Radio. He's live and local from noon to 3 before Grant and Danny take over. A special treat tonight, NIT title game on 910 The Fan. So you got a little hoops tonight. You want your Saturday hoops fix at the Final Four, you're going to have to go to 1140 WRVA because we got Flying Squirrels baseball. And, of course, we are always keeping an eye on Alex Ovechkin chasing history, which happened last night in Carolina. Wild sequence of games there. Wild 27 hours for the Washington Capitals. Go to Boston. Ovi scores a goal. Team gets a win, big fight during the game. Go to Carolina, get waxed. Ovi scores a goal, big fight at the end of the game. Here's Alex Ovechkin on the verge of history.
Well, the chant is over. You can hear it here now. And a 5-on-3. Let's see what happens as he sits on 891. It comes to Chychrun. He'll move in toward the top of the right circle. Now to Strome, back to Chychrun. Looks for Ovechkin. Looking to tee it up. Nothing there. Chychrun takes the one-timer. And off the glove of Anderson, the puck stays in the zone. 40 left in the period. Ovechkin to the high slot. As Chychrun feeds it to him, he scores! Alex Ovechkin gets goal! 892! It's on the power play! Top right corner against Frederick Anderson! Ladies and gentlemen, he is 3 goals away from the record! He has scored here in Carolina with 34.5 to go in the second period. It's 4-1, and Alex Ovechkin has 892 in the bag.
There's only one more goal here that's largely inconsequential to history. because the next one just puts him one away from tying. But the tying goal, that's a historic goal. That's the one where he matches Wayne Gretzky. That's a big deal goal. And then, of course, the record setter is a big deal goal. And then every goal he scores for the rest of his life is a big deal goal because it's the new record for most goals scored by an NHL player. It makes the goal before it that much less significant. So it's a real declining value situation until he retires. Wayne Gretzky in the house last night is going to start traveling with the Washington Capitals through the final seven games here so he can be on the ice when Alex Ovechkin breaks the record. Congratulate him. I would imagine there will be an in-game ceremony of some sort there. Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, has joined the traveling party. Every game here on out now on national television from here to the finish. Seven of them starting Friday night, tomorrow night against Chicago. Chance to do it at home before they head out to Long Island on Sunday. It's taking the air of inevitability, and I think what's driving that is that the Caps have locked up their playoff seeding. So in these games, like, literally nothing matters except getting Alex Ovechkin a goal. I think they're just drawing up plays for him, getting him across this finish line. Would love to see them do it sooner rather than later so they can take a breather before the playoffs start. We'll see if that happens or not. But the other consequential thing that happened last night, these two teams are both very good. These two teams very much could meet each other in the playoffs. There's a little thing called setting the tone that they like to do when that's going to happen. And we had a little tone setting last night. Hurricanes, Jalen Chatfield gets into a fight with Connor McMichael. And halfway through the fight, I'm going to call this a UFC move. I don't actually watch UFC, but I'm assuming this is what they do to each other. Kind of picks him up and throws him to the ground. That unwritten rules of hockey, you don't do that. You want to weigh in on UFC? Is that a UFC move?
No, we got to ask Marlon. I'd imagine the ice is a bit harder than the wrestling mat.
It's a big no-no. It's unwritten rules of hockey, right? I mean, the rules are don't fight, so you're kind of breaking the rules already. But when you fight, you have to do it.
Are the rules don't fight?
Per the code of gentlemanly conduct. And he was not fighting in a gentlemanly fashion. I mean, you get a penalty when you fight. You have to sit out for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but no one stops them.
No. It is a bit of a gray area here, admittedly.
Stretching the word rule.
Chatfield tosses McMichael to the ice UFC style, and then all of it breaks loose.
Remaining, and now we're going to get more shenanigans as we get down, bunching up here with Jankowski. And they mix it up. Jost is in the middle of this now, too. And Brent Burns, sticks and gloves and nastiness right at center ice here at Lenovo Center. Nick Dowd is getting tossed in the box immediately. He is furious with Jankowski. And the official scorers are getting an earful right now. Dowd is leaning over and yelling at Jankowski already in the box.
Duhame's going at it at center ice, too. You knew that was going to happen, so...
Duhame is pointing at Jost. Give the officials a lot of credit for doing the best they can to keep this one in control, because this is a powder keg right now. Duhame's getting tossed. Dowd is in the box. Jankowski, I think, is going to go, although he's in the box at the moment. And plenty of equipment and a yard sale in between the blue lines here with 5:34 left.
It's a yard sale's worth of equipment there on the ice. Last 7 minutes of the hockey game, 114 penalty minutes distributed between the two teams, who, by the way, play each other next week in D.C. That's going to be a game. A little more tone setting. Refs that night are going to be, you're out of here. They're going to have the old short fuse there. If they play in the playoffs, things are going to happen. I'm going to mark that one down as a not the Ovi record night, if that's how they feel about each other. They're not letting Ovi get the record. I think most teams don't mind. Everybody's competitive. Nobody's going to let Ovechkin score. But I think, like, when they're playing Chicago tomorrow night, I don't think the Blackhawks are in the locker room like, we need four guys on Ovi at all times. Like, they're going to come out and play hockey. And whatever happens in that hockey game, they can be at peace with. I think Carolina's legit going to not let him get the record on their watch after last night. It's fun. It's fun. It's hockey season. There's so much going on right now So many subplots. So many. You got the playoff matchups. You got the chase for history. You got Ryan Leonard coming on board with the Caps. Great time to be a hockey fan. And a playoff chase that is a lot of teams racing to the bottom right now, which I love, because you're always worried Caps are the one seed. You're always worried about drawing that team that got really hot, snuck into the playoffs, maybe is playing really good. You've kind of been sitting on your thumbs for a couple weeks. We've seen that before. We've seen that show before. So it's good to see the teams fighting for the last playoff spot, all struggling, ensures that, you know, get out of the first round. Whatever happens, happens after that. I mean, if you play Carolina in the second round, as a team that was built to win the Cup this year, I can make peace with whatever happens either way there. But would like to get out of the first round, especially if they lift the President's Cup trophy as the high point scorer here at the end of the season. Got 7 games left to sort all that out. Baseball as well. Baseball's off to a wild start, too. So much going on in the world of sports. We told you Flying Squirrels are starting. Major League Baseball, already a week in the books. Wild finish last night. Things we did not think would happen. The Atlanta Braves, I think, are a team built to win the World Series this year. A lot of talent. They've invested some money in that team. Have had some bad breaks the last couple of years, but are a good baseball team. Came into last night 0-6, which is not how they plan on starting their season. Los Angeles Dodgers came into last night 7-0. That's exactly how they planned on starting their season. They're kind of one of the best teams in baseball at this juncture. They're certainly one of the most expensive teams in baseball. They feel like a juggernaut. 7-0 coming into the game. Bottom of the ninth, Dodgers on the ropes. Shohei Ohtani says, "Hang on, everybody, I got this."
First pitch swinging, high drive, left center field, at the wall! Oh my goodness! Shohei Ohtani, a sayonara swing! He's headed home, and once again, the Dodgers walk-off winners!
I love Shohei Ohtani. Dodgers are getting on my nerves for how much money they've spent. Braves 0-7. That's a full-on stunner. The show just took a turn, though, Stubb.
Yes, this is very important.
This is very important. I love baseball. I want to talk about baseball, but I got a text here from AWOD that I feel like needs to be addressed immediately. He texted a picture. He said, "I just finished my pre-show interview with today's special guest," and it's a picture. Are we calling this the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, he tweeted out, too, and referred to this character as the Easter Bunny.
That's the Easter Bunny in my nightmares. Like, in my nightmares, that's the Easter Bunny that's like, "No candy for you this year. We're giving out broccoli and the eggs."
He's well-dressed.
He's very well-dressed.
He's got a vest and a jacket.
A snappily dressed Easter Bunny. For sure. So I have the dumbest question of all questions. Easter's not this weekend, right?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't think so. No. No, because Easter's in 2 weeks. All right. No, but the Easter Bunny is at River City Roll. Awad's at River City Roll today because he's at the Diamond tomorrow to do opening day at the Diamond. Scavenger hunt and kids eat for half off Easter at River City Roll. So the Easter Bunny is at River City Roll today. 7-year anniversary. That's awesome. Down at River City Roll. We'll check in with Awad. We'll do crosstalk. We'll do the program. It's been a show, and we'll wrap it up after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.